Let's again have our New Testaments open to Galatians chapter 5 as we've been working our way through piece by piece through the fruit of the Spirit. We've started each study by reading this text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, we look at this often, we look at it as a group, as a cluster, if you will, of fruit as we study through. But in this series, we've been taking them and looking at them piece by piece. And love and joy and peace and long-suffering, we can appreciate those, but when we get a little further down in the list, they kind of blend together and we're kind of through with it. But we're not doing that. Each characteristic is vitally important. The eighth quality or characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, or the King James Version renders meekness. And we may use these terms interchangeably in our brief study this morning. The word gentleness or meekness is translated from the Greek word praoutes. It is used 11 times in the New Testament. Praoutes means mildness or humility. And here's something else we're going to notice as we study and as we look at different passages, that gentleness and humility are often found together. Where you read one, you're likely going to find the other. Where you find gentleness, you're often going to find humility. W.E. Vine writes of this word praoutes as it's rendered meekness. He says that it is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It is equanimity of spirit that is neither elated nor cast down, simply because it is not occupied with self at all. And I like that understanding. I like that definition, and it can help us to better appreciate how we can be meek and how we can be humble if we will first empty ourselves. Remember, one of the first steps of discipleship is denying ourselves or emptying ourselves, as Christ did when he left heaven to come down and to walk here among sinful men. It's going to be much easier for us to treat one another the way that we should if we will, instead of looking out for our own interest, we will be looking at and towards the interest of others, as Paul gives us instruction in his epistles. Meekness is often defined or described as strength under control. If I mention meekness, a lot of times we'll look at it from a worldly point of view, and meekness is weakness, and that's undesirable. But meekness, true Bible meekness or gentleness, is not weakness. It is strength under control. It is the ability to bear under a lot, to take a lot without that self-assertiveness, without responding in an inappropriate way. As we have done with many of these qualities, if we are learning from the Holy Spirit how to live, if we're learning this from the Holy Spirit, then we can expect this to be a quality of deity, and indeed it is. It is a characteristic of deity, and we'll start with God the Father, but what's interesting, we don't have a lot of passages in the Bible that talk about the gentleness of God the Father. There are a couple in the Old Testament, and I want us to turn in our Bible and look at these, especially the first one in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is a very unique book. I like to say that Hosea is looking at God's broken heart. God is about to bring destruction upon the northern kingdom because of their unfaithfulness. It breaks his heart to do this, but he has to do so. And so, if you wonder, is God capable of having a broken heart? Read the book of Hosea, and you'll see that, yes, indeed, he is. Now, in chapter 11, He is talking about how he has been betrayed. He feels he's been betrayed by Israel because he's done nothing but be kind and gentle with them. And takes them all the way back to the beginning, back to when they were an infant nation. Look at chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. God says, I taught Ephraim to walk. And that Ephraim would have been the designation for the northern kingdom like Judah was for the southern kingdom. Here's the northern kingdom. They're about to go into captivity. They're about to suffer from the Assyrians. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not know that I healed them. Picture a father teaching his toddler how to walk. That father is going to be gentle. The father would have the strength to pick the child up and throw him across the room if he wanted to. But a loving father is going to be gentle and take the child by the arms and help them to put one foot in front of the other. That's what God did for Ephraim. And so here we see the gentleness of God. And then look at verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords. The New King James Version says. I believe other translations say cords of men. And so there would be some question about how this needs to be translated, but some translations use the word gentle. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped down and fed them. Even if the word gentle doesn't belong in the text, it's all a picture of gentleness, isn't it? That God was very gentle with Israel as a father would be gentle with a toddler, with a small child that he loved. David praised God for his gentleness in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 18. In the 18th Psalm, and let's look at verse 35. Psalm 18 and verse 35. And again, we're looking at God the Father. This God of fire and wrath and jealousy, is he capable of being gentle? Yes, he is. Psalm 18, and let's look at verse 35. Psalm 18, verse 35, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. So among the many qualities of God that David is praising in this psalm, here in this verse, God is being praised for his gentleness. God the Father is gentle. What about God the Son? We know that when Jesus came to this earth, one of the things that he did when he came to earth was to give us a better manifestation of God the Father and to show us the Father. And we know that Jesus indeed was gentle. In the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, as Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he appeals to them with the gentleness of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul could be beating them over the head like an apostle with authority and with power. He had that right, but instead he is appealing to them gently. And as you read 1st and especially 2nd Corinthians, you know that if the gentle approach doesn't work, then the rod is coming next. But first, he appeals to them with gentleness, and it is the gentleness of Christ. Is Jesus gentle? Well, we know that he was. A well-known saying of Jesus is his great invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus is gentle. He's not going to be rough. To those who are weak, to those who are weary and heavy laden, to those who are full of sorrow and heartache, we can come to Jesus and we can know that he will be gentle. There's another passage in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, in which Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, and showing that he is indeed the Messiah because he is fulfilling this prophecy that was made by Isaiah. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him." So let's pause right here. Here's God the Father saying, "I will put my spirit upon my servant," who we know is the Messiah, his son. So whatever it is that the Father has, the Son has, we've already shown, the Father is gentle. So that same spirit has been given to the Son. "I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." Verse 19, "He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory." The word gentle is not found in these verses, but it's pictured by these verses. The Messiah is not one who's ready to fight. He's not one who's looking for a fight, looking to cry out, looking to make a commotion in the streets. He's not going to come stomping through, and whatever is already weak, whatever is already bruised, he's just going to stomp on it and move it out of the way. No, he's going to be gentle. And those who are weak, those who are bruised, those who are smoking as if they've already gone through fire, he's going to be very careful. He's going to be very kind. So the word gentleness is not found here, but it's pictured here. That's what Jesus was. Jesus did not come riding in victoriously on a stallion. He came riding in as a picture of humility, riding on the colt of a donkey. Again, remember, when you've got gentleness, you've often got humility right there with it. And that was the picture that we saw when Jesus rode in triumphantly into Jerusalem. Matthew 21 verse 5 is a quotation of the prophecy in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and setting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So, was Jesus gentle? Yes, he was. Paul says that he was. Jesus says that he was. And he fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah in showing that he was gentle. As our pattern has been, if God, deity, is gentle or has this characteristic, then if we're following after deity, we're expected to have the characteristic as well. And that is true of gentleness. Christians are expected to be gentle. When we come unto Christ, we are coming unto him, as Romans chapter 12 says, we are not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to come and learn from Christ how we are to live. And when it comes to some of these characteristics and qualities, we may be tempted to respond, you know, that's just not me. I'm just not a gentle person, especially maybe us guys. That's just not me. Well, that needs to become you. That needs to become you. I want to show you a couple of passages of Scripture. We might not all be gentle, but we're all expected to become gentle. Men, we are to pursue gentleness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, "But you, man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Pursue doesn't mean, well, I'll get around to it when I can. Pursue means chase after it. Go after it and obtain it. So you and I are to pursue, men, we are to pursue gentleness. Not that women would need a whole lot of help with this particular quality, but women specifically are told to put on gentleness. When Peter writes to wives. He says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Men, we're giving the verb or the action of pursue it, obtain it. Women, the action of put it on, be clothed with it. And hang on to that idea of putting it on. We'll come to that again in just a moment in our study. But men and women alike are to be gentle. We're expected to be gentle. Gentle towards whom? Gentle towards whom? Well, first and foremost, we need to be gentle toward God. And for this point, I want to refer back to the other rendering of meekness. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we know that being hearers of the word only isn't going to profit us any. It's not going to benefit us at all. Just listening to the sermon, just reading the Bible, we have to make the application. We have to, as James says, we have to be doers of the word. And that starts by being careful to make sure that we receive the word in the right way. And James lays this out for us. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, paratis, there's our Greek term. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So not only are we told to receive the word of God, but here we're told that we are to receive it with meekness or gentleness, this quality that we've been studying about. W.E. Vine in his lexicon has a lot to say about this Greek word. And I want to read the following portion of his definition. Praeotes is, quote, an inwrought grace of the soul, and the exercises of it are first and chiefly toward God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. I like that definition of this quality of gentleness or meekness, and think about that when it comes to receiving the Word of God. What about when we come to a passage that tells us to do something that we really don't want to do? How do we react to that? No, that's not for me. No, if we have this quality of gentleness or meekness, our attitude will be, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Like Eli taught Samuel to respond to God. We will want to know what God has for us, what he tells us to do. Or maybe we come across the passage and it tells us not to do what we want to do. Again, now that's not for me. Or maybe it's we need to change the way we think. Like we're looking at this, the fruit of the Spirit. No, that's really not for me. If we have gentleness, if we have meekness, we have this quality, we'll have the attitude that Eli taught the Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. What is it that you want me to do? And we'll have this attitude towards Scripture that's spelled out in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, that the commandments of God are for our good always. If we approach the Scripture from that point of view, with that already settled in our mind, whatever this book tells me to do, I know it's for my good. That's going to help us with this meekness or gentleness to accept whatever it is that God tells us. Even the things that are tough, even the things that are hard, meekness, gentleness is going to help us in our relationship to God. So it's, as W. Vine says, it is chiefly shown first toward God. But then we also are to be gentle or show gentleness toward our brethren. Let's go to some passages that we've looked at previously in this study of the fruit of the Spirit, because the Apostle Paul often groups or clusters these together in other epistles. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, there's our word, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. How do you and I walk worthy of the gospel? I can never be worthy of the gospel, and that's true. We can never be worthy, but the scriptures say that we can walk in a worthy manner. How do we do that? Well, we do so with the proper attitude, with lowliness and gentleness. Again, we've got humility right there with gentleness. They're often found together. And when these two are coupled together, then that's going to result in being patient with our brethren and bearing with our brethren. And that's how we walk worthy of calling with which we've been called. Turn to Colossians, the sister passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, there's our word, meekness or gentleness, long-suffering. Notice again what it's connected to, humility and meekness or gentleness. And here the text tells us, like the passage in 1 Peter 3, we're to put it on. We're to be clothed with this. A couple of points I would make about that. Number one, notice that God does not clothe us himself. We have to put this on ourselves. It's not up to God, and if God wants me to be gentle, then he'll make me gentle. No, we've got to put this on ourselves. And also, in putting on gentleness and these other qualities here, it's not like a costume that we put on so we can act gentle when we need to. When we're around church people and we're doing church things, then we'll act churchy. But when that's done, then we can take that off and we can go and we can be ourselves. No, it's not a costume that we wear so we can play a part. It's a uniform that we wear as we serve. It is that which we live in. It is a way of life. That's the way Paul is using this term. You put off that old way of life, and you put on this new way of life. So we must put on, along with tender mercies and kindness and humility and long-suffering, we must put on gentleness and be gentle toward one another. And I want us to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We have to be, especially, have to be gentle when we're dealing with brethren who are caught up in error. Galatians chapter 5 is where we found our text. You know, we've got the works of the flesh, you don't do that. The fruit of the Spirit, that's what you cultivate in your life. That's in chapter 5. Well, you go right into chapter 6 from that discussion about walking in the Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You go right into chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Not just any Christian is cut out for the task of correcting and restoring a Christian in error. It has to be a spiritually minded Christian, and it has to be one who is gentle. Who is gentle. So yes, there are times when we especially need gentleness with our brethren. And then third, we have to be gentle in our dealings with the world. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 15, this is the passage that tells us to always be ready with an answer. Always be ready to give a defense. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness, there's our Greek word, with meekness and fear. When we are dealing with the world, and especially these times when the world comes, people in the world come and ask, why do you do this? Why do you believe this? Why? That's when we need to be very careful in how we answer. Very careful that we give the right answer, but very careful that we give the answer in the right way. And there is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I think this passage, 2 Timothy, that it could be applied to those who are outside the church, but also those who are inside the church. But I wanted to bring it up here with this third point, dealing with those outside the church who are in error, those who are in religious error. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Let's read verses 24 down through verse 26. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. And we could make a lot of that contrast right there. Christians are not to be contentious people, not in the body of Christ and not towards those who are outside the body of Christ. Yes, there are times when we need to fight, but that shouldn't be something that we just enjoy doing. Must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility. Again, look how close humility is to gentleness. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So this could apply to brethren who get caught up in error and fall into error, but I believe it also applies to those in the world who are in error. Either way, we want them to escape that trap. Well, how do we do that? We do that with gentleness. We aren't going to win everyone with the truth. That's just the fact. Jesus didn't. We aren't going to win everyone with the truth, but we aren't going to win anyone if we're not gentle. We have to have gentleness when we're talking with people about religious differences and differences regarding matters of faith. So gentleness is needed first in our dealings with God, but also with our brethren and with the world. God is gentle with us. Jesus is gentle with us. Have we learned from them how to be gentle back and how to be gentle to one another and how to be gentle in this world? If we're learning how to live from the Holy Spirit, we will be meek and gentle, kind and humble, just like our Lord. Are you and I pursuing gentleness? Are we putting on gentleness? That's the challenge for us today. Let's work on this and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the example that you have given to us in your dealings with Israel of old and in your Son coming to this world, taking on a body of flesh that could be seen, watched, observed, and imitated. We're thankful that you are gentle. And we pray that you would help us to be gentle, to be humble, to be patient, to be meek regarding our relationship with you and receiving your word, to be gentle with one another here at Knollwood, and to be gentle and patient and understanding in our opportunities to teach those who are in error and those who are in sin in the world. Bless us as we strive to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're now dismissed to our Bible classes.